talking your normal tone of voice. And when there isn't anybody talking, it shuts off on its own. And you know, then when you do talk, it'll pick you up. So it's pretty easy that way. But anyway, so we're here at Bert Thiel's house in Pella, Wisconsin, and it's March 29th, Good Friday today. Beautiful day outside, and I'm very fortunate to be sitting here with my interviewing person, Bert Thiel, who played in the minors and the majors, and that's all I need to say for an introduction, as far as the tape goes. Now, as far as your minor league career, we sort of looked at the list, and I guess the most important question I have about your minor league career was, what, in your mind, what was your highlight? What was your favorite part of your minor league career, Bert?
Well, I have a number of memories that bring back. I was very fortunate being a pitcher. Starting out, I had managers like Willis Hunt on the pitcher, and then going to Milwaukee like Bucky Waller. And I learned a lot from the old time. But I don't know. I have two no-hitters. I don't call them no-hitters because they were all seven innings. I always consider a no-hitter to be nine innings, but it was just fortunate that it was double-headers and played seven innings at that time. One in Hartford in the Eastern League and one in Old Orchard Field, which is quite a feat in Orchard Field because it is short.
Seven innings or not seven
innings. But all the line drives are hit at somebody, so uh-huh. I was real fortunate.
Wow. Me, in my mind, a no-hitter is a no-hitter, and, you know, like you said, yeah, it would be better in your own mind if it would have been nine, but like Stoney McGlynn and the old Brewers team, he had a couple of seven-inning no-hitters, yeah. Too. Yeah. I think one of those might have been when he was with St. Louis, but before he came up to Milwaukee. But
I think mine was the only no-hitter since his no-hitter.
On the Brewers? Or in the association?
Orchard Field.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know it was 125 years before mine, but we had a good ball club. They made some good, outstanding plays, and everything fit into place.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Grimm, we got out his banjo in the clubhouse afterwards, and we had a merry time.
Wow. Oh, man, that must have been a merry time.
Yeah.
Jolly Charlie.
Jolly, not that he's one of the best.
Yeah.
I always meant. You know, a funny thing, when I was over in service, I played here at Clintonville, the old Clintonville Truckers. You remember that? 17 years old, I was pitching for the old Clintonville Truckers.
Well, yeah, now what league were they in?
They were just a semi-pro.
Okay.
You know, they played naval teams like Great Lakes. And
oh, okay, they played Great Lakes, all right.
And I pitched for them, and Glenn Miller, who was a scout at that time, saw me, and Richard Red Smith.
Yeah, sure.
And Charlie Grimm, they were scouting, and they saw me. And when I was overseas, I got letters from all three of them, and I got back to contact them. And you know, the funny thing, my first year at Eau Claire, who was my general manager? Glenn Miller. And who did I play for at Milwaukee was Richard Red Smith was the general manager, and Charlie Grimm was my manager. Isn't that a coincidence?
Oh, man.
Like everything fit in the place.
It must have been right.
Yeah.
Things must have been. That is amazing.
Yeah, that is.
What had brought them up to this area?
We had a lot of scouts around. Eddie Danisik at that time was a great scout.
Okay.
Fred Schulte.
Fred Schulte.
Remember Fred Schulte?
Yeah, I've got his baseball card.
I scouted with him for years.
Oh, my gosh.
Burley Grimes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that brings back a lot of memories when I scouted. I couldn't wait to get with those fellas and sit in the stands and listen to the old timers talk about their day, you know, what they did.
So
that was something to listen to those. Well, Emil Bellick still scouts at Milwaukee. He scouts for the Phillies. Emil's 82 years old.
My gosh.
We had a lot of scouts in the area at that time. Eddie Dennis had signed a lot of ball players around this area for the Braves, you know.
And you had mentioned when you were looking at the book earlier that there was a Shawano kid.
Billy Reed.
And what was his name?
Billy Reed.
Billy Reed.
I'll tell you about Billy Reed. He was an outstanding athlete at Shawano. He in tennis, football, and basketball. He even went and played with the Huskers All-Stars at that time in the NBA. And he was a top tennis player in the state of Wisconsin. And he went into pro ball. I was with Billy. I roomed with Billy 6 years.
Oh.
I lived 6 years and I roomed him for 6 years.
Oh, you must know him pretty well.
Yeah, he lives in Houston now, and he was off over 300 hitter. And the coincidence was, we both went up to the Braves and went training at 52. And we both got sent out at Wrigley Field the same day to come back to. And he was hitting good for the Braves too. It just unbelievable. And I had a terrific spring in 52. I couldn't have a better. Of course, I was in good shape just coming from Puerto Rico, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
And Tommy Holmes was our manager, and I guess he didn't figure that we could make the ball for it. But Bill Reed would hit any place over 300. He was just a good hitter.
Maybe that guy had a thing against Wisconsin players.
No. This is nothing against Tommy Holmes, but then he made Tommy Holmes the manager at Toledo in 53. And I never forget, after a month went by, Red Smith, Bill Reed, and I were walking in the park, and Red Smith was sitting in the stand. He called us over. He said, "I think we're going to make a change. And don't put Tommy Holmes just wasn't the manager. I mean, he just wasn't the manager." So we got in George Silver, and from then on, we took off. We had a terrific year.
Now, Toledo must have had some of the players from the 52 Brewers team, is that right?
Oh, yeah. We had Gene Connolly, we had McMahon, we had Frank Torrey at first. We had a ball club there that would compete to a lot of teams today, you know. Not quite as good as 51, 52 at Milwaukee, because we just had a terrific ball club. But 53, when George Sumter came and took over, we got the most out of the ability that we had as a ball team, you know. Band was great. We drew 286,000 in that little band box in Toledo.
Wow, how do you remember that?
Huh?
How do you remember that? That's amazing.
I remember that because, I tell you, when you work for a gentleman like Red Smith and Charlie Green, working with the best, they knew how to bring people in and
Knew
what it was to win.
Well, it sounds like you really thought highly of Selkirk, and especially with his ability to get the most out of his players. And
you know, when I left Toledo, they put me down on Ross picked me up off of there. That was the way. Then George, he went on to Toledo. They moved him to Wichita. But I never forget the time I was pitching for New Orleans in Shreveport. And it was a 14-inning game, and I won it 2-1. And when I got back to the hotel, I didn't know Mr. Selkirk was there. And he wasn't allowing me to want to see you for breakfast tomorrow. I'm going to stop all this suffering you're going, because he knew I had my repertoire and everything had to be changed because of hurting the arm. I had to come up with calling you a guy with a little emotion, you know. But,
anything to try to alleviate the pain a little bit.
Well, not only that, I just didn't have to dip on the fastball no more, so we had to come up with a lot of other things. I'm the first guy that ever come up with a quick pitch in baseball. You might not believe this, but I am.
No, I'll believe it, but I'm interested in this.
I used it a lot, along with my pump, double pump, and then when the batter got that bat out in front, I didn't take no lineup at all.
Oh my gosh.
And I'll never forget I struck Mickey Mantle out in 1957 with the spring training of the Red Sox. And Mantle kind of flipped his bat up and looked at the quick pitch and then said, "I'm going to get it out here and bring my hand in line." And old Hank Sauer come out and said, "Hey, rookie, you don't pull that kind of stuff up here." So imagine, I was 30 years old at that time and I'm a rookie.
You weren't a rookie. No.
And all I'm playing the association, there's nothing illegal. There's still nothing illegal. Nothing I could tell the hitter where you're going to wind up, where you're going to double pump and stuff like that, you know. That's what got me fired, all the different emotions I had.
Yeah.
Great years. doing that, but...
Man, I can't believe Sauer would say something like that.
Oh, the new umpire, that's not the world.
That was bold.
Who did that strike out? Many men.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that, if it had been some 250, it wouldn't have made any difference.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I never thought I... So maybe that had a lot to do with it.
Hmm.
Red Sox, and but the Red Sox bought me just to improve their AAA club in San Francisco. That was amazing.
Okay, so that was a Red Sox connection then at that time.
'57, and they bought me to Dallas.
Okay.
I had a terrific year at Dallas.
Hmm.
Come back in third year.
Let's see, what does the sheet say for you in Dallas? Looks like you were 18-11.
Yeah, with a
3.11.
Wow. Yeah, I had a perfect year.
The 3.11 ERA in 29 decisions, plus a very good percentage. So what was so much better? How, why were you so improved in Dallas? Because that's phenomenal. And the pitcher of the year, and is that Southern Association or Texas League?
Yeah, that was the Texas League. You know, in 55, I struggled for Mr. Selker because the young pitchers started at that time. You know, this is a business. You know, when you get over, like with Gene Mauth in 57, Gene Mauth wanted me. He said, I want this guy with me, because Gene played for me in Milwaukee 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that I could pitch. So I got off to a good start, 6-2 record. And then he comes down from Boston, Murphy, whatever his first name is, said, I want the younger pitcher, this guy. So Gene took me out of the starting field. Now, I go to the bullpen, and I told Gene, listen, it takes me a while. I'm underrated. I can't really go in short relief and do the kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he sent me. And we had Tommy Hurd, Harry Doors, we had three veterans in the bullpen. And I did good. I did good in relief in San Francisco. But I'd always say to Joe Gordon, he's their manager, I said, Joe, I won 18 games last year. I didn't say Joe, I said Mr. Gordon. I won 18 games last year. Now you've got me in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's the reason for it? So he said, we got Kylie, we got a lot of young pitchers, and that's not already the pitcher. So I got on him a couple times. He said, gee, sure like to start once. So what did he do? He started me the last, second to the last day against Sacramento. And I beat him 3-2 and 4-9, and that was the last game won at Steel Stadium in the Pacific Coast.
Oh my!
After Joe Wayman, I wrote it.
Oh, okay. Against the Solons.
Against Sacramento.
Okay, and you were a San Francisco Seal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd never been. They just like, well, we go 4 or 5 innings. You know, today they say, give me 4 or 5 good innings, and we'll have something to pick up. Well, that wasn't the same back in those days. You give me the ball, you got to have a team of horses to pull me out. I went 9 innings, because I was in good shape, even if I worked a short relief. You know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, just thinking about that, you know, a person that, well, most of the season, if not all of the season, you were in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then to be called on the last game of the year, you know, I mean, it's almost like a joke.
Well,
but then you showed him.
I tell you, there wasn't nobody going to get me out. It was a close game, 3-2, but there was nobody. You know, that's the way it was in those days. You're right. I felt bad that after winning 18 and being Tiger League pitcher of the year, that they shoved me in the bullpen. I didn't think it was that. I told Pinky Higgins that when I left Boston with him. I said, I know why I'm going down to the bullpen. I'm going to be down in the bullpen. Man at Louisville a couple of years. It's a business.
But you know, it's those are the things that unless you hear it right from, you know, a ball player such as yourself, you don't really realize. I mean, from a fan standpoint, you say, man, why did we ever get rid of him? Or wow, why are they sending him down to AAA or, you know, up to wherever?
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, but you don't think about it from the person, you know, that's getting shipped.
No, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of pitchers in my, well, there's a lot of ball players in my. I know if I had stayed at Boston in '52 after the year I had, I could have won because I had a driven spring training. But then you had Dittmer come up. They give Dittmer money, and Bill Reed, you never give him money. He worked his way up to Hardaway. It's like a lot of this. You don't want to make their acquisitions look bad. There was, back in my day, there were so many options. I'm so sick of hearing the word option. They got an option from AAA three times. You know.